Everyone can, you shout amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yes. Hallelujah. We are so glad to be in the presence of God once again, to hear from Him. Hallelujah. And tonight we are going to the Word, and what we want to look at tonight, what God wants to speak to us tonight, is the unity of the Spirit through the agreement of witnesses. The unity, that is what I will teach tonight. The unity of the Spirit through the agreement of witnesses. The unity of the Spirit through the agreement of witnesses. So let me start off. The first statement I want to make is, the speakings and the utterances of God are established by the agreement of the speaking of witnesses. The speakings and the utterances of God are established by the agreement of the speaking of witnesses, two or more witnesses. God confirms that He is speaking through the agreement and alignment of His witnesses. Hallelujah. I want to read out to you something that you already, maybe you know it already. So I want to give you some information about that. Hallelujah. Okay, hold on. So, how was the Bible written? The Bible was written by, maybe you already know it, but just hear me out what I'm saying. Okay. 40 authors wrote the Bible over a period of 1500 years. These Bible writers were writers who wrote, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Those who wrote the Bible lived at different times, and some are separated by hundreds of years. In many cases, they were complete strangers to one another. Some Bible writers were businessmen or traders, others were shepherds, fishermen, soldiers, physicians, preachers, kings, human beings from all walks of life. They served under different governments and lived within contrasting cultures and systems of philosophy. But here is the wonder of it all. When the 66 books of the Bible, with their 1,189 chapters, made up of 31,173 verses, are brought together, we find perfect harmony in the message they convey. As the scholar F.F. Bruce noted, the Bible is not simply an anthology. There is a unity which binds the whole Bible together. The Bible writers gave God's message by voice and pen while they lived, and when they died, their writings lived after them. These prophetic messages were then gathered together under God's leading in the book we call the Bible. So that's how the Bible was written. The Bible was written in a state of the unity of the Spirit through the agreement of witnesses. Do we understand that? So what I want to say is, the speaking and the utterances of God is conveyed to the world when God is able to find witnesses. Who is a witness? A witness is the one, one becomes a witness in God's kingdom when he or she has a personal relationship with the Lord, hears the Lord, and obeys the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Okay, that is a witness. A witness is the one who has a personal relationship with the Lord and hears the Lord and obeys the Lord. That person becomes a witness of the speakings of God. He becomes a witness and a catcher and a receiver of what God is speaking to that person. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Now, if God wants to reveal himself to humankind, what he wants to do, he wants a gathering of such witnesses. He wants a gathering of such witnesses. When such witnesses come together, these witnesses are able to connect the dots and solve the puzzle that will reveal God to humankind. Do we understand that? So, hallelujah, hallelujah. But the church system, that is how the church has to be. The church has to be, there have to be people in the church who have a relationship with God and who are hearing things from God. And then when they come together, or when things are put together, everything, one person, the things, the first person, the second person, the third person, and the fourth person are saying will come in alignment. It will be like the dots in a puzzle, or it can be a parts of a puzzle. When put together, a whole picture can be revealed. So God works. The word of God is conveyed to the mind of human beings. The word of God is conveyed to the world. The gospel can be the whole counsel of God. You know, when Apostle Paul says, your blood is not on my hands, to the church of Corinthians, because I have preached to you the whole counsel of God. That was the heart cry of Apostle Paul. Because you would see that many people accept Christ. Many people would receive Christ. Okay, I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior at the altar. But after that, they don't know how to walk with God. They don't know how to build intimacy with this God who is real, who is a person. They don't know how to walk with him in their lives. Hallelujah. That can only happen when there are witnesses in the body of Christ, where, that when their speakings and what they have received are put together, the message of the whole counsel of God is conveyed. And that is how God formed the apostolic ministry in the book of Acts. And the speakings of the apostles, I will come to that at the later part of the sermon. To show you what the apostle, what Peter was teaching, Apostle Paul was teaching at the same time. But Peter was in Jerusalem, Paul was in an Asian country. But what they were speaking to the church was one and the same. I will show you what Jude was writing to the church about false preacher. What Peter was writing to the churches about false preachers were exactly the same. What they were doing, the apostles were aligned to one spirit. They were not speaking anything different. They were aligned to one spirit. That was the church who were bound together in unity, not because they went for Sunday lunch together, but because they were connected to one spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, before I move ahead, I want to, the statement that was heavy in my spirit, man, I want to just tell it to you. And then I want to start off the sermon. Okay? Today, this is the statement. Today in the church, more than developing our relationships with each other and pleasing each other, we need to nurture our relationship with God. Today in the church, more than developing our relationships with each other and pleasing each other, we need to develop our relationships with God, each one individually, that we may be witnesses in agreement to his utterances in the Spirit. That we may be witnesses in agreement to his utterances in the Spirit, and not just display unity in the flesh. Are we together? I don't want to see unity in the flesh. Oh, I like you, I love you. That's all, everything is okay. Oh, our church is a wonderful place. Why don't you come to the church? All those things are wonderful, brothers and sisters. Oh, we go to lunch. Oh, you know what? The pastor pays for the lunch. We all enjoy after church. Go to lunch. Do this. Go to the game zone and do go-karting or whatever you do. That's all wonderful. That's all okay. But are you guys connected to the Lord? You are connected in the flesh, that's okay. People even in a club are connected in the flesh. They love to be together in a club and enjoy together. That does not mean you are a church. Are you connected to God so that each one has a utterances that can bring you, that can bring your speakings into the unity of the Spirit? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That is what I want to teach tonight. The unity of the Spirit through the agreement of witnesses. Okay, let me take you to a verse. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse number 1. Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How? There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Hallelujah. So, what the scripture is saying, what Apostle Paul is writing is, he is making it clear to the church that is one Spirit. So, your agendas cannot be linked to different ambitions. Your ambition should be one. Your heart cry should be one. If you are hearing from the same Spirit of God, your utterances should be aligned. Your utterances should be one. If there is found a preacher whose utterances do not align with what the Spirit of God is saying, he is not of the sheepfold. He is in the enemy's fold. When the servants of God speak, when the people of God speak, what they speak come into perfect alignment and can fit the puzzle and make the picture clear. That's why I read what history records, and you already know it, that the Bible was written by 40 authors over a period of time from different background, but yet what they were speaking were the same things and aligning with each other, that when put together, it forms a book that can tell you a perfect story, or it can become the best book of the world that can lead men to eternal life, and it can become the best manual for living a faithful life and knowing the true God who created the heaven and the earth, who is the creator of everything. So these people from different backgrounds, when their speakings were put together, it all aligned and came together. That is how God establishes his word through different witnesses. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. I want to start off with the greatest witness. Okay. Okay. Start off with the greatest witness. Okay. Hear me out. The witness or the word of God is the greatest witness, and no other word or agreement can come against this witness. God is the greatest witness. The word that he speaks is the greatest witness. It's a established truth. I have told you many times that the word of God is not an advice or an opinion or just a suggestion. It's an established truth. When God speaks, you have to better listen to him, because what he is speaking is an established truth. No other word or no other theology or no other doctrine can come and fight that word that God speaks, because God is the greatest witness of the universe, because he is the Ancient of Days. He no one created him. He existed from eternity. No one created him. He is the Alpha Omega, beginning and the end. He is the Ancient of Days. He carries that wisdom. So his word, he is the greatest witness. God's word is the greatest witness. Stay with me. Listen to me. Now, if you say, brother, whatever I want to speak, I speak, my words are loose. My words fall to the ground. My prayers are not answered. My prayers don't work. You know why? Because If the speakings of man is not aligned to the greatest witness, the words of that person will fall. But when your speakings are as per the greatest witness, when you speak his word, that is the greatest witness, that is the word that can never change. When you align your speakings with the witness of God, with the word of God, whatever you say will have authority. Whatever you say will have weight. Whatever you will say, it shall manifest, because God is the greatest witness. Okay, where is it in the Bible? Let me show you. Let's go to the epistle of John, the letter of John to the church. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Okay, for those who don't know this revelation, I'm going to, that is there in the scripture. 1 John chapter number 5, I will tell you about it. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 5 onwards. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 5 onwards. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the spirit who bears witness, because the spirit is truth. So here again, there is witnessing that Jesus came. How he came? John is saying he came by what? Water and blood. And then the spirit bore witness. I will explain that to you. I have already taken the sermon, but I will explain that to you. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. Who? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, his Word. The Word is also Jesus, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three bear witness in other words, and these three are one. In other words, when these three come into agreement on certain word, it is executed in heaven. It is manifested in heaven. So everything is established on the basis of agreement. Are we together? What did Jesus say? When two agree on earth, it shall be done by the Father in heaven. Why the church is not revived? Because people are going for brunch and lunch together, but they don't hear from the Spirit, so that their speakings will come into agreement. So when they pray together, nothing happens. Do we understand that? There needs to be agreement. So everything happens in the realms of the Spirit through agreement of witnesses. Okay, stay with me. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth. So the agreement that exists in heaven and the agreement that exists on earth are two different agreements. In heaven, the Father, the Son, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit come together. And when they agree, things are executed in heaven. It manifests. But on earth, what are the three elements? And there are three that bears witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one, because Jesus came by water and blood, and he died on the cross. And water and blood, I will come to that. Now, stay with me. After that, verse number 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is what? Greater. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. You see, the testimony of God is what God speaks about himself, is what God speaks about his Son. The testimony of God, or you can also call it the witness of God, is greater than the witness of man. What does that mean? That means that if you say, oh, you know what, that person is saying something, that if I do that, I will be successful. That man is saying, and you align to his speakings, you do his speakings, your purposes shall fall. But if you align to the word of God, because the word of God is the greatest witness, and you become a witness, you and God agree together, then what you do will be established. Then what you do will be successful. That is the meaning of God is the greatest witness. Now let me explain to you, for those who do not know, what verse 6 to 8 was saying. Now, consider two realms. This scripture is talking about the realm of heaven and the realm of the earth. The realm of heaven, the scripture is saying, when the Father, the Word, and the Spirit come together in agreement, they witness together in agreement, things are done in heaven. But not so on earth. On earth, it needs the water and the blood and a spirit to come together. Why? Because the devil had corrupted the earth by occupying the elements of the earth, that is his spirit, and the water of the over the earth, and the blood, that is the human being, when he deceived Adam and Eve, he took the bloodline of the human beings unto his jurisdiction and started to lead them by his spirit and had them renounce their relationship with God by having the Holy Spirit to leave them, with which the Ruach Elohim, the Holy Spirit, with which they were created. So the devil was in possession of the blood. You see, the devil started to work in the bloodline of Cain after Cain killed Abel, and the blood was shed. After that, the devil started to move in Cain's bloodline when he shed blood. So the devil works through the element. The devil has possessed the elements of the water, of the blood, and his spirit. When water and blood and his spirit come together, his spirit and the water and the blood are able to execute the plans of the spiritual in the plans of the physical. How did the devil occupy water? Which water did he occupy? Turn with me to Genesis. Stay with me. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Genesis chapter and read the scripture. Hear the scripture carefully. Only then will you understand. Genesis chapter number 1. Verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness. Underline that darkness if you have not. That darkness are the devil and his fallen angels, Lucifer and his fallen angels. What were they doing? And darkness was on the face of the deep. So the darkness was over the face of the waters. The devil was sitting on the water. Okay? So the earth did not exist. The whole earth was a water body. It was all water. It was all water. The earth was formless, shapeless, void, all water. And this devil and the fallen angels were over the face of the water, the face of the deep. And also, and the Spirit of God was over the face of the waters. Stay with me. Then God said, let there be light. Now the Spirit of God is Ruach Elohim, the breath of God. So when God speaks, his breath goes and creates. One of the functions of the Ruach Elohim, that is a characteristic of the Holy Spirit, a functionality of the Holy Spirit. One of the function is to bring back to life the dead things. I've already addressed that in my sermon called Ruach Elohim. Okay, any which ways. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Who was bringing light? The Ruach Elohim was doing that. And God said, light, and God saw the light, it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was a separation there. It does not say God created darkness. He just created light. When light was created, he separated the light from the darkness, which was already there. So the devil was already there on earth. Do we understand that? Okay. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God, now the devil is there in the dark realm. Because God only created light. He did not create darkness. He just separated light from darkness. So there is a domain in which the devil still exists on earth. Stay with me. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. So imagine the earth which is full of full water, you know. Everything is water. What did God do after light? He let there be firmament in the midst of the water. That means a separation. In the midst of the water, let it divide the waters from the waters. Waters from the waters, like this. A vertical kind of a separation. Thus, God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. So here is the water. He made a division, a firmament, divided the water under the firmament, and there were water above the firmament. Stay with me. Above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament, what? Heaven. Heaven. So the evening and the morning were there, and that was the second day. Stay with me. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place. Now, this is the firmament. This is the firmament. That is the heaven. That is the sky that you see. The first heaven. And the waters, he said, under the firmament, not above the firmament, under the firmament, be gathered together in one place. Okay? And let dry land appear. And it was so. So God called the dry land earth. Then the earth was created. And the gathering together of the water he called seas. And God saw, and it was good. So, after that, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Do you see and notice something? The water that was above the firmament was not addressed. It stayed there. Because who was on it? The devil. Hallelujah. Should I repeat? Do you understand that? So, when there are three heavens, God lives in the third heaven. Okay, let me repeat that.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
That needs to be repeated.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Yes. Gladly. Genesis chapter number 6. Let me come again to the scripture. Genesis chapter number 6. Now, before Genesis chapter number 1 verse 6. Before verse number 6. It is saying that God created light. He did not create darkness. He just separated light from darkness. So darkness was already existing. He did not create it. And who was in the darkness? There was the devil. So when God was creating, in the creation, the domain of the devil was not addressed by God. He left it like that. God was only creating light and creating his own creatures and creation and separating it from that darkness. Okay, now it says that God, verse number 6, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water. What did I say? The earth was all water. There was no dry land. So God said, look at me, who did not understand. Let's consider this is the earth. Okay, let's consider this is the earth. So this is all water. So God said, let there be a firmament. That is a division in between. And let the firmament separate the waters that are under it and the waters that are above it. And then God said the next day, let the waters under the firmament gather together. So dry land appeared. This is the earth now. And the waters that were under the firmament became the sea. And what is this firmament? This firmament is heaven. God called the firmament heaven. This is the first heaven. And what is above your sky? Above the sky is not God sitting there. Above the sky is waters, is a realm of waters. So the water that were under the firmament, that is the heaven, the first heaven, were gathered together. They became the sea, and the dry land appeared. That became the earth. So we are living here. above us is a firmament, that is a sky, and above the sky, that is, there is a water. And when you read your Bible, God did not address this water because the devil was living in this water. That is the marine kingdom.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
That is the marine kingdom. That is the water. So the devil was in possession of the waters that were above the heaven. Let me give you a scripture for that. Psalm 148. Psalm 148. Turn with me. Verse number 4. 148, verse number 4. Praise him, you heavens of heavens. So, plural. Heavens of heavens. What is the heavens of heavens? Because there are multiple heavens. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. So, the sky that you see, above that is the realm of water. That is the second heaven. Spiritual warfare happens in those realms where there is water. So the devil, do we understand that now? That water was not addressed by God because there was darkness over that water. So the devil was in possession of the water that was above the sky that was covering the earth. There was the possession. So the water, that water he used. What is the water realm? The water realm he used to restrict the things of third heaven that is above the water. That is the third heaven where God sits. God is enthroned. He restricts the things of third heaven. That is the agreement of the Father, the Word of the and the Holy Spirit. Whatever they decide, it's executed only in heaven. But they cannot execute it on earth. Why? Because there is a boundary that the devil created between the earth and the third heaven, with which he blocks the oracles of God, the purposes of God, the speakings of God is blocked by the water realm to come on the earth. So the water he used, and then he took over mankind by deceiving Eve. The bloodline, the water, the blood, and his spirit he uses to execute his plans on the face of the earth. But Jesus broke that agreement. I will tell you how. Hallelujah. People of God,
hallelujah.
Those who are understanding, say amen. Those who did not understand, later listen to the sermon again. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Okay, listen to the sermon again afterwards. So stay with me because we have to go ahead. Do you understand that? The water, the blood, and a spirit takes the decision on earth. But Jesus, the Lord fooled the devil and broke that agreement, and so that Jesus' blood and the water that came out of him and the spirit of the Lord can make decisions on the face of the earth. So he eliminated Jesus when he died on the cross. He eliminated the spirit of the devil by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God agreeing with the water and the blood. So the witnesses that confirms that Jesus died on the cross is not a Roman soldier or not a human being. The witnesses that confirms that Jesus died on the cross is the water and the blood that came off his side and the Spirit of God that he gave up back to God. These three confirm that Jesus died on the cross. And as a result, what these three witnesses say has to be an established truth on the face of the earth. That's why when a person believes in the death of Jesus Christ, a person is saved, because it was agreed with the three witnesses, the Spirit of God, the water, and the blood.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Okay. Amen. Stay with me. John, Apostle John, is speaking something deep there. If he did not write that scripture, we would not have understood the revelation, what he is writing. Okay, stay with me. You will, beloved, you know, I have seen some people in the group searching on Google when I am teaching. You will never find my teachings on Google. It's the mystery of God. You will never find it on the internet, what I teach. You will never find those things, what I say, on the internet or with another preacher. I am speaking mysteries. Listen to me. Stay with me. Now, Jesus, what does the Bible say? Come back. Let me just explain this to the people, because I took this sermon long time back and some of the people don't know about this. So I am just taking some time to explain this. First John, but we have to go through this because it is about witnesses, agreement of witnesses. Nothing can be done by without the agreement of witnesses. Okay, First John, we were reading First John chapter number 5, verse number 6. Okay, let's read for verse number 6 again. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Okay, it says, this is he who came by water. He came by water. Now we know that he was baptized with water. That is another, the second set of revelation of the water. But he came by water. So what is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying only that one can break the agreement of the water and the blood, and the devil's spirit is the one who crosses the water of the second heaven. And Jesus is the one who came from heaven to earth. And there is no one else who came. Samson was born, and his birth was told, was already predicted by the angel and said the person. But he did not came from heaven, Samson. It is only that his birth was just told. There is only one human being on earth who was born after coming from heaven. That is Jesus Christ. So he came from the third heaven, crossed the boundary of the water. So he came by water. Then he was born in the womb of Mary. So he came by blood. And the Spirit of God produced him. That means the Spirit witnessed the birth of Jesus. So Jesus came by the water, through the blood, and the Spirit of God, through which he was born, witnessed the birth of Jesus. Stay with me. Hallelujah. So he was born in flesh and blood. His introduction was again by the water and the Spirit. When John said, the one who comes, and on one, the Lord told me, on whom the dove, the Spirit of God comes upon and rests on the person, he will be the Messiah. He will be the Son of God. Again, after coming by blood, he was again introduced by the water and the Spirit. When he died on the cross, the Bible says from his side water and blood came out, and it was confirmed by a human witness. Water and blood came out, and when water and blood came out, the Bible says he yielded up his spirit. So the water and the blood and his spirit gave witness that he died on the cross. That is what the Bible is saying. The one who came, Jesus Christ, he came by water and by the blood and by the Spirit. How was Israel taken out of Egypt? The death of the firstborn of Egypt was orchestrated by God, and all the firstborn died, the blood. After they all died, God said, get out of Egypt. And then when they got out of Egypt, there was water. The water had to be parted. What parted the water? The breath, the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit. And they went, so they came out by the blood, and then the water, and by the nostrils, breath, by the Spirit, Israel was taken out of a demonic agreement that existed in Egypt through the water and the blood and the Spirit of Pharaoh. They were held captive, but God shed the blood of the firstborn of Egypt, and then the water was parted. What parted the water was the breath of his nostril, that is the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Elohim. The water, by the blood, the Spirit brought out Israel. How was Moses rescued? There was a bloodshed out of which he came, the bloodshed of babies, of the male child. And then where he went, the water. What is the meaning of Moses? That he was drawn out of the water. Again, the blood and the water. You see that? Hallelujah. So,
hallelujah.
So that is how God negated the demonic agreement that existed on earth between the water, the blood, and the spirit of the enemy. When you put your trust in Jesus Christ and believe that he is God, you are putting You are aligning by an ancient agreement that was made by the Spirit of God and by the water and the blood to establish the truth that Jesus died on this earth for the sins of man. And when you believe that word and that witness of God that John is saying, the witness, what is the witness of God? That Jesus died for you. When you believe that witness, your soul is saved, because you are believing in the agreement of three witnesses. Do we see that? Okay. That was to explain you the agreement of the water and the blood of and the Spirit, and the agreement of the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. But what I want to say is, let's come to verse 9. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 9. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. What is the witness of God? That is the witness of God. And the witness of God, the word of God, is what? The greatest witness. Okay, let me come on that revelation now. What did I say? The word of God is the greatest witness. So if you want your speakings to be established, you need to align to the word of the greatest witness. Who is the greatest witness? The Lord, God himself. And what are his witness? What is his word? Here, the Bible. So when you align to the speakings of the Bible, you are witnessing to God, and you and God are becoming a witness. And whatever you speak, you are speaking in agreement with the greatest witness. So your words are established. What you speak is established. What you are hearing and declaring is established when you are speaking in agreement to the greatest witness, that is God himself. Stay with me. Turn with me to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. Verse number 13 onwards. John chapter number 8. Verse number 13 onwards. The Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. Why? For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." So Jesus's ministry was questioned. His teachings were questioned. What he was saying was questioned. And the Pharisees said, "You, whatever you are speaking, we don't accept it, because there is no one to witness to your speaking." Mm-hmm. Jesus said, "What I say is true, because I am not only one who is witnessing what I am doing and speaking. There is another person who witnesses and confirms what I am saying and doing is of his. That is the Father. So what I am doing and saying is approved by heaven, is attested by heaven, and it's executed by heaven. So man cannot question it, and neither man can stop it. When you agree with the greatest witness and do his word and speak his word, no human authority and on earth can come against the workings of heaven, because there is a witness that is agreeing with you. That is the greatest witness, and God himself.
Amen.
God himself. Listen to me. When you speak the Father's utterance through the Spirit, what you say is established by heaven as a truth. When you agree, you hear the Father, and whatever the Father says, you say. Whatever Father tells you to do, you do. Your works and your words are established as the works and the words of truth by heaven. You are attested by God himself because you are agreeing with the greatest witness and doing and saying what he wants you to do and say. That is what Jesus is telling to the Pharisees. Hallelujah. People of God, if you are still here, say amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. So men will say, what are you doing? Apostle Raul, what are you teaching? I say, my father bears witness of my teaching because whatever I hear, I say. So no authority on earth, no authority on earth can stop the speakings of God when a man aligns to the utterance of God. When a man starts to hear the utterance of God, stay with me. Hallelujah. And it is not only me who should hear the utterance of God. When every person in the group starts to hear God and say, starts to hear God prophesy, starts to hear God speak, starts to hear God and do, what happens is the picture of God through a congregation will be clear to the world, and the nations will know the power of God, because God establishes and manifests his word and power through the speakings of multiple people. That is how the Bible was written. That's why the world knows that the greatest book is the Bible. No one can beat the Bible, because it was written by the agreement of witnesses who heard God and who wrote, who heard God and who spoke. Hallelujah. Let me take you to another verse. John chapter number 5. Okay, stay with me. John chapter number 5, verse number 31. John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5, verse number 31 onwards. 31 onwards. Okay, listen to this very carefully now. This is what Jesus is speaking. Verse number 31 we are on. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent now. This is again Jesus speaking, that I am not bearing witness of myself. There is someone else, that is the Father, who bears witness of me. And I know what he says to me, what he says of me, everything is true. I know that. So I am not depressed. I am not frustrated by what you are saying. I am not moved, because I know I'm hearing the Father and I'm saying it. My doctrine is not my own. The doctrine that I teach is from the Father, is from God. Okay. But verse 33, it says, you have sent to John and he has borne witness to the truth. Who was John? John was a witness to the introduction of the Messiah. He said, I am not the one, but the one who is coming after me, even his sandal straps, I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He is the one promised, written by the prophet Isaiah. So what was John doing? John was only affirming and confirming the words of another prophet who wrote thousands of years before him. His ministry was to confirm the speakings of God, that God prophesied through a man, that is Isaiah. He was the one who the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. You see, ministries are based on the speakings of God. Even our ministries are based on utterances of God. Our ministries is a confirmation of the things that witnesses spoke and witnesses agreed on. Stay with me. So it says, you have sent to John and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. Verse number 34 is what we have to pay attention to. It says, Jesus is saying that you sent to John and he bore witness to the truth. He bore witness to who I was, who I am, Jesus is saying. Okay? Yet I do not receive testimony from man. So God is have sent to John and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. Hallelujah. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Now listen to me. Listen to me what I want to say. For the conviction of man's heart, God confirms his word through two or more human witnesses. Jesus is saying, I don't need a human witness, but I am telling you that John witnessed about me just so that you will know that it is true and you will be saved. There comes the gathering together of the witnesses. There comes the agreement of the witnesses. Why is the Bible not written by only one author? Because the human beings will not, it will not suffice the human reasoning. It will not suffice the human logic. The Bible was written by 40 different authors over a period of 1500 years because, because God wants to show that all these witnesses affirmed and confirmed to the word that came from me, though they did not knew each other. Are we together? So Jesus is saying, I don't need a human witness, but because that you would be saved, your human reasoning and logic can be sufficed, can be satisfied to know that this is the truth. That's why God sent a human witness before me so that he can confirm who I am and who what I am going to do and what the scripture says about me. Listen to me. I have encountered many times, let me explain to you simply. I have encountered many times in ministry where I spoke something to people and told them, this is the thing. This is what God is speaking about that situation. This is what God is speaking about your son. This is what God is speaking about your daughter. But because it did not align with their thoughts, they said, oh, we don't accept it. But after 2 months or after 3 months, I am from India. Someone from their own nation, Canada, someone from their own nation, USA, met them and prayed for them. And that person spoke the exact thing that I spoke. Exact thing. They don't know me. But that person spoke the exact thing about that situation, about that person that I spoke. And they called me, you know, Pastor Rahul, what you said about this person, about the situation, I did not believe. But after, there was a person who prayed and he spoke the exact same words what you spoke. Now we believe it is true. People of God, are you listening? So your human mind does not accept the word of God. Oh, what he is saying? Oh, no, it's not like that. But when it is confirmed by an unknown person who is not known to me, not known to this person, and he says the same thing, your human reasoning is satisfied to know, how can this person and that person who don't know each other, who are from different countries, speak the same thing? How can that happen? That means God is speaking. Hallelujah. That is the reason. That is what should happen in a meeting. When if people here are spending good time with the Lord during the week and hearing the Lord and writing things from the Lord in their diaries, and they come on the meeting Friday, Sunday night or Saturday night, and they hear the things that what I speak, their spirit will be active. That spirit will be energized. That spirit man will be revived, because what is this heard from God? Brother is speaking the same things. It happened to me so many times. I was not a preacher that time, but what I did is I was with this prophet who was ministering. So I would lead worship and do other things. So, but we had to go to a place to minister to some people in the evening. In the afternoon, I was just spending time with the Lord and hearing from the Lord. And I wrote some things that the Lord revealed to me. Okay. So with that diary, I went with the prophet. And the prophet started to minister to a family. And the prophet started to say, open the Bible and speak to the family. Whatever he was speaking was exactly whatever I wrote in the diary. I knew that the prophet was speaking the speakings of God, because what God spoke to me, he was speaking the same things. That is the agreement of witnesses that brings unity in the spirit. Hallelujah. Everyone say the agreement of witnesses brings unity in the spirit. Everyone say that.
Agreement of witnesses brings unity in the spirit.
Amen. The agreement of witnesses brings unity in the spirit. Do you now understand that scripture now? Let me come back to that. John chapter number 5, verse number 34. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. Yes, that is what Jesus is saying. John witnessed about me. You were ready to accept what he was saying. He witnessed about me. I am not saying this to you, Pharisees, because I want to have testimony from a man, but because when you see a confirmation and two or three people speaking the same thing, your human logic reasoning, that worm in your human mind will be fed and you will know that it is God speaking. So, hallelujah. Do we see that? Okay, let's go on. Verse number 35. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Okay, listen to me what I am saying now based on this scripture. If anyone does not hear the Spirit of God, he or she cannot understand and agree with the Word of God and the plans of God. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. You are not understanding me because you have never heard the Father's voice, neither seen his form. That's why what I am teaching you, you are not able to agree with my teaching. So, many people try to read the Bible, but they never understand the Bible because they don't hear God. They don't hear the Rhema word of God, but they are trying to get into the Logos word of God. Hallelujah. Do we see that? You know, when the Bible says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the translation of that word is the revealed word. That means the Rhema word. What does the Bible say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Only when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, hear the Holy Spirit, submit to the Spirit of God, obey the Spirit of God, will the scriptures come back to you in life. You will be able to understand the Bible. But if you cannot hear the voice of God, you cannot affirm or conform to the written word of God. So he is saying to the Pharisees, you cannot understand, you cannot receive my witness because you never heard the one who sent me, never heard his voice, never saw his form. Hallelujah. I pray and I prophesy that today the people here in this place, each and every one of you will hear the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. There is a difference if after hearing the Father, you sit in the meeting, and there is a difference when you don't hear anything from God and sit in the meeting. When you don't hear anything from God, you sit blank. What this guy is saying? Because you are not able to witness to the teachings. Do we understand that? But if you hear the word of the greatest witness whom I am hearing, when you sit here, I was excited so many times because whatever I meditated, wrote in the diary, and when I went to some meetings, the pastor said exactly the same things. I was so excited that God is speaking in this place. The gathering of witnesses, the agreement of witnesses brings unity in the spirit, beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, another word, another thing in this scripture I want to reveal to you. Verse number 36. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bears witness of me that the Father has sent me. So God confirms his word through the works of his will. God confirms his word through the works of his will. He is saying, my Father bears witness of me, okay, but also the works that I do. What is the work he was doing? Healing the sick, delivering people, giving sight to the blind, rescuing the oppressed, preaching the gospel to the poor. What Isaiah wrote about me, that were the works. When I do the works, know that the Father has sent me. So when you speak God's work and when you do God's work, you are attested by heaven and your work will not fail you. Hallelujah. We celebrate writers in our age like rich dad, poor dad, this and that and all those nonsense. I am telling you, if you are able to live more than 100 years, you will see how much, for how many generations will the writing exist. The writings will cease. The writings will cease for in another 10 years. But those who heard God and wrote, even after 1500, 2000 years, we are still reading the writings. Why? Because they wrote the words of the greatest witness. Why we are still singing psalms based on the psalms of David? Why we are still singing songs? There are songs that come up. I'm telling you, in India, every week they produce one song. People sing that song for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, that song is forgotten. You know why? Because that song never came from God. A song that comes from God will impact generations after generations. It will even be there after the man has died and passed away. His impact will be there because he was the one who said and who did and who witnessed to the great witness. That is God. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. Let me come back. What did I say? I said, the speakings and utterances of God are established by the agreement of the speaking of witnesses. Now, there are two categories in which or through which God works. One category is God's sovereign will. That means he does not need the agreement of men. The Father, the Word, that is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes into agreement. And what they want to do, they will do without you saying amen to it. And the second category, where for the purposes of God is to be executed, the agreement of a witness is needed. A witness is needed. Hallelujah. You know what? God sent me to a church. There in the church, God had a great plan. Okay? So whatever God said, I as a witness agreed and I released it. I prophesied it to the church. But the people in the church had frowny faces. Out of the congregation of 100 people, not even one person accepted or agreed with what I was saying. What I said never came past in the church. Not because I was speaking of myself. I was speaking of God. But there was no witness to agree with what God was speaking there. Do we understand that? Hallelujah. Amen. For you, for in a church, if God in a church, churches need this more than brunch parties and lunch parties and get-togethers and we need to build relationship with one another. We need to come close to one another. No. Don't come so close to one another in the flesh. You will have fights, conflicts, and differences. You need to come close to God. You need to go close to God individually. That is what I said at the beginning of the sermon. Today in the church, more than developing our relationships with each other and pleasing each other, we need to nurture our relationship with God that we may be witnesses in agreement to his utterances in the spirit and not just display unity in the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me stop here. And then we will see how does true unity come in the church. The Bible says that the early believers, when the church in Jerusalem started, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Why? Because they are all aligned to the speaking of God. No one stood there, oh no, this is wrong. The apostles who were teaching that time, there were 12 of them. And then one was added later, Paul. They were all in agreement. And I want to show you the similarities of the prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles of the New Testament. What they were teaching were the same things to the church, even though they did not discuss, you know what, I and Sister K or I and John Paul will come together. John Paul, let's decide this sermon. This is the revelation. You teach in your church, I will teach in my church. No, it was not like that. We never spoke to each other. But even so, what he was saying to his congregation, what I am saying to this congregation, were the same exact things for the same season. Once I was prophesying in the church, which did not accept the word of God. And I was prophesying that God is going to move in India. There is a time God is going to move in India. And like in the temple of Dagon, the idol of Dagon fell down before the ark of the Lord. That is how idols are going to fall, I prophesy. That is what I prophesied. One of the church members, after 3 months, four months, he sent me a video from a man in US. And the man in US, he had a ministry, he was on TV. And on TV, television, he was prophesying for India. And he prophesied and said the exact same things that I said.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So the person who saw the video, remember, hallelujah. Oh, this little boy Rahul said that. He's speaking from God, because how can this prophet also say the same thing? Because I am not on TV, I'm not so famous. How can someone hear and copy it? He was speaking the same thing. Exact same words. Exact same words.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Confirming hallelujah. That the word of God is true.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I want to prophesy that people will get hold and catch hold of the voice of God in this place. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray. People will catch hold of the voice of God in this place. When we come for the prayer meeting, that's why I say, you know what? I will be delighted to see everyone prophesying. Oh, Rababos Katabarabando. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Raval Safata Rava. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said wherever two or more agree together, wherever two or more gather in your name, you are there in their midst, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, this group will not be a group that is dependent on one man, but this group will be a group where individually every person will hear your voice tonight. They will hear your voice tonight. They will hear your speakings tonight. Beloved, come out of your daily affairs. Come out of the entanglement of where you are. And God wants to speak to you, beloved. God wants to have this group as the one who prophesy. Oh, prophesy the word of God. Declare the word of God. Decree it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says when the prophets confirm to the word of God. Oh, Father. Oh, Lord. It was convicting to the hearts of the unbelievers, Lord. Oh, Lord, when it was released, we don't know what I am saying can go after many years and convict someone or convict a nation. We don't know. It will only happen through the agreement of witnesses. The spirit of the unity, hallelujah, the unity in the spirit will only come through the agreement of the witnesses. And I pray that people here will not be attached to each other emotionally, will not be attached to each other in the flesh, Lord, or with human feelings, but we will be united together with the utterance of the one spirit and the one God and the one faith and the one Father who is in all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Beloved, if we are joined to the voice of God, no one can separate us from each other. I want to talk to families, husband, wife, children. If each one of you decide to hear God every day, oh, no one can separate you or divide you. You will stay together when you hear God. Instead of spending time with each other so much, spend time with God and everyone hear God. I pray, Father, that each and every person in the families here will hear you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. That Amen. Is the true unity. Amen. That is the true unity in the church, beloved. True unity is not spending gala time and good time, all those things. That is good. We can do that. It's not wrong, but we have forgotten to hear God. We have forgotten to hear God individually. That's why there are division. That's why there are differences. That's why there are emotional drawbacks. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let us hear you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, The Bible says how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. That is the unity where every person hears you, Lord. Every person hears you. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for convicting the hearts of men when they hear the words of two witnesses. I've seen that in my own ministry, Lord, where people were not able to receive what I was saying. But when other persons said about the same things that I was saying, they were able to confirm, oh, this is God speaking. Father, I pray, Lord, that each and every person, if we start to do that, if we start to confirm what God is speaking, oh, there will be conviction in this group, Lord. There will be conviction for those people who are not able to hear God. There will be conviction for unbelievers coming in this group, Lord. There will be salvation, Lord, for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I give you the praise, honor, and glory, Lord. Hallelujah. The further services, Lord, coming on Saturday and Sunday, I just surrender into your hands. Give you all the praise, honor, and glory. I cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus, we ask this prayer. And we all say, amen. Hallelujah.